The Tide by Casey Cook. The car was small, with faded decals and a dented bumper, and even though the rain was little more than mist, fat droplets collected in a thin gash on its fabric roof and dripped inside. The woman shifted in the driver's seat, trying to keep the rain off her thighs. Slowly, the temperature outside rose. As it did, steam gathered inside her windows, turning the air thick. She pulled at her skirt, now suctioned to her skin, and rolled her window down. Immediately, a rush of wind pushed into the car. It curled up the back of her blouse and pulled at her seatbelt. Strands of her black hair slapped at her face and struck in the corners of her mouth. On the highway, the rain hissed and evaporated under the emerging sun. She took the last exit. It climbed straight up, then made an abrupt turn at the peak. She reached the crest, but the sun, now bloated and bright, blinded her. She tried to find the concrete barrier walls and turned the wheel hard, praying she didn't somehow drive right off and into the sky. She kept her foot steady on the accelerator, and eventually the ramp sloped down. It narrowed into a one-lane road with water pooled in the fields on either side. She had expected to smell manure, dirt, freshly mowed grass. But as the fields turned to strip malls and outlets, then back again to fields, all she smelled was rot. By the time she reached the single-lane bridge, it was night. The bridge, a series of thick rubber pontoon cubes, was barely wide enough for her small car. In the dark, it was hard to tell where the stagnant rainwater ended and the bay began, and it was impossible to see across to the other side. She slowed down to a crawl, then took a shallow breath and edged the front tires onto the bridge. It gripped back at them, dragging the car off dry land, and the bridge sank, ever so slightly, down into the brackish water. The farther she drove, the darker it became. She could no longer see the waves, but she felt them. Her car lurched with each set as they broke over the bridge and sent spray through her open window. A few drops caught her on the cheek and lips. It was warmer than expected, and tasted scummy. Old. She shivered in the night air, eyeing the frail, sagging rope railing. Her fingers, gripping tightly around the wheel, went cold. She hadn't noticed the condensation settling on the pedals. When she tried to adjust her foot, it slid, first slamming on the accelerator and then slipping off. The car lunged forward. The wheels screeched, kicking up water and rocking the bridge. Too panicked to brake, she screamed as the bridge's tread forced her a few more feet forward. When she finally stopped, she just sat there, feeling the water below and listening to the wind. But the dark was overwhelming, so she pushed on. 100 heartbeats later, a set of dunes crept up onto either side of the bridge. Now, instead of water, the bridge hovered over sand. To the left, beyond the sand, was the ocean. To the right, a collection of crooked apartments was in the distance. The moon, now peering out from a thick layer of gray clouds, shone down on them, creating gaunt shadows that contorted into the ground. Eventually, the bridge gave way to cracked pavement that curled around the peninsula and left the bay behind. The sun scrambled up from the horizon, lighting a haphazard string of warehouses and shops. Even though they varied in shape and size, they all looked the same. Salt-crusted corners, sand-blasted windows, and blistered paint. Beyond the buildings, in the dim light of an overcast morning, the ocean loomed. The road dead-ended into the base of the boardwalk. She parked her car, took off her shoes, and walked over to the bottom of the spindly staircase waiting at the boardwalk's end. She could hear games whirring in the arcade a few yards down, so she picked her way up the stairs, careful to step around the exposed nail heads and tattered wood. Once at the top, she took a long look out over the water. She watched it crawl its way up the beach, pulling itself across the sand. As it released its grip, retreating backwards, she stared out into it, searching, but was unable to see beyond the surface of the waves. She crossed her arms around herself, shivering at a sudden breeze, and turned towards the arcade. The arcade smelled like decades of sweat and burnt hot dogs. Her feet felt clammy against the cement floor, covered in a layer of dust and forgotten bits of caramel corn. The door shut behind her, and her eyes adjusted to the darkened room. The windows were blacked out with cloth and tape, but it was actually brighter than she'd expected. All around her, electric lights and neon signs screamed. She padded down the aisles, listening to the game's taunt and tease. "You've been KO'd. Better luck next time. Try again, if you dare." She expected to hear kids laughing and jeering each other on, but she was the only one there. Not even the concession stand was manned. She stared at it, slumped over in the corner like a dirty towel. Suddenly, her tongue felt swollen and heavy in her mouth. The insides of her cheeks were both cottony and raw. She hurried toward the stand, slid behind the counter, and grabbed the first soda she saw. She popped the top and guzzled. But halfway through, she stopped. "It's seawater," she thought, gagging. She threw the can to the floor. She doubled over, heaving and coughing it up. It burned against her throat, and the salt stuck to her teeth. She stood back up, shaky. Her stomach felt leaden as she looked wildly around the room, searching for whoever might have switched the liquids. But she was alone. She ran through the arcade and back out onto the boardwalk. The sky was a painful blue, the sun now high and swollen in the center. At first, all she could see was white, but when she squinted, the beach became a soundless scene. Two women in beach chairs threw their heads back in silent laughter. A few children soundlessly called to one another as they kicked a soccer ball back and forth. A man grabbed a beer and turned the dial on his radio. He nodded his head to the music, but all she could hear were the waves. They waited, quietly, for her. She took a tentative step onto the beach, and, slowly, the ocean rose up into a giant swell. It crested, hovered, and came crashing forward. It easily overtook the packed sand. She watched with a tight jaw as the people around her laughed. The water pushed higher than they had expected, lifting their towels, uprooting their umbrellas, sending their coolers tumbling under. Out in the water, a young woman bobbed up and over the first set of swells. Her black hair spread over the ocean like oil. The woman on the beach watched her swim out in strong, fast strokes, heading towards a buoy that was 100 or so meters from the shore. The woman watched the swimmer's easy movements. Her head would dip under the waves, then rise. Dip under, rise. Each time she rose, she was one stroke closer to the horizon. The woman watched with tense, unblinking eyes. Her hands fidgeted, restless, at her sides. The swimmer kept going. The woman crossed her arms, wrapping her hands around her sides. "Just go to the buoy and turn around already," she whispered. Then she screamed, "Turn around!" The swimmer popped up out of the water, her head and shoulders briefly exposed. She kicked herself even higher into the air, arched her arms, and dove forward. She curved up and skimmed the surface, pushing her lungs as far as they would take her. All the while, a wall of water swelled up in the distance. The woman on the beach watched, hands clenched, as it twisted up in a sharp white crest. The swimmer finally surfaced, only to stare directly into the base of the wave. She couldn't even take a breath before it collapsed on top of her. Reflexively, the woman on the beach held her breath. But, realizing she'd tensed up, she let it all out with a sigh. "She'll be fine," she thought. She closed her eyes. You will be fine. You've just got to get in and let the tide take you. those are the rules, then it will be over. This all will be finally over, she whispered. When the woman opened her eyes again, the beach was empty, and the ocean was, in that moment, the perfect mirror of a cloud-dappled sky. She smiled at the sudden beauty. Her eyes softened, and her muscles smoothed against the warm breeze. She was standing in that perfect moment after the tide had rushed in, but before it began to recede. It lasted less than a full breath, but it could last forever. That's what they'd told her. They'd promised. But you have to give in, she reminded herself. Let go. As she watched the woman, she tried to ignore the burning that coiled up into her chest, but it singed the edges of her lungs. It was as if the air around her pulled itself back from her mouth. She struggled to keep her breathing slow, and even as she gripped at her neck and collar, her face remained serene. She had to watch. Those were the rules. She had to stay calm. But as she watched the woman thrashing against the waves, it all rushed back. Her memories ripped through her until she screamed. Fight it, she screamed. Fight. As if on cue, the ocean scrambled forward in one last gasp, crashing over her ankles and shins. She felt it flood through her, sneaking its way under her skin, wrapping around her muscles and bones. From inside, it curled up her calves and thighs, snaking higher into her stomach. It bubbled up her esophagus, metallic and cold. It gurgled in the bottom of her lungs and burned in her nose. She looked up to the sky, knowing they were there. Fuck you, she sputtered. And your rules? The water poured in faster. She doubled over, her chest on her knees. She fell to the sand. Her hands, shaking, searched for something solid to take hold of, but all she found was water. In spite of her rage, her panic, like the ocean, swelled into every part of herself. It dragged her deep beneath the waves and swallowed her whole. From many feet below, she tossed and turned, searching for the surface, but black water waited for her in every direction, thoroughly unimpressed with her soundless screams. She was driving a small car with faded decals and a dented bumper. Outside, it was raining. Casey Cook's fiction has appeared in the Dime Show Review, 365 Tomorrows, The Muse, and 20-something Magazine, along with other publications. The music in this episode is by Sealand. You can find more of their work, including their album Dark Days, at sealand.bandcamp.com.